The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Time now for our Sustainable Singapore series. And if you think about it, the use of green energy here in Singapore, we've made some pretty big strides over the past decade.
Yeah, the number of grid-connected solar panel installations has actually increased by more than 80 times, from 34 to over 2,800 in the last decade.
Yeah, but, you know, there's this thing called conventional photovoltaics, and it's not always practical on Singapore's limited rooftop space.
Yeah, but now you have integrated photovoltaics, or BIPV, which are solar panels actually incorporated into the construction of new buildings. And it's a major area of interest for Singapore, quite understandably.
You look at the iconic buildings around Singapore that now have solar panels, such as Jewel Changi Airport, Universal Studios Singapore, the National Art Gallery, Gardens by the Bay, just to name a few. And one company that was involved in all these projects was Solegy.
Yeah. So joining us in the studio to give us a profile of the solar energy sector here in Singapore and tell us more about Solegy is Albert Lim, who is the managing director of Solegy. First of all, when I came across that, this idea of these panels being integrated into buildings, I thought, really? How does this work? Can you tell us?
Oh, yes. Thank you, first of all, for inviting me to this FM 89.3. Thank you. Over the last 12 years, the installations in Singapore has been largely on rooftops. And BIPV, which stands for Building Integrated Photovoltaics, very, very expensive. It takes like 50 years to 100 years return. But of late, because of the progress of technology, the prices have come down. And also because of building and construction authorities' drive towards low energy building, zero energy, where invariably, apart from putting panels on the rooftops, developers have to consider putting panels onto the facade. And that's where the demand for BIPV starts to pick up.
So it actually goes on the side of the building?
Right, yes. Obviously, given the four faces of the building, you choose to put on the east and west where you get more sun.
The rise and the setting of the sun.
Yeah. Exactly.
Albert Lim, Managing Director at Solegy, in the studio with us. Let's talk a little bit about how Solegy has been operating since 2007. Its 12th anniversary has just passed. Congratulations on that. How else, apart from this, has the solar energy landscape evolved? Or, you know, are there things in the works now that's very exciting?
Maybe I take you through the progress of the solar landscape over the last 12 years.
Sure.
And I'm lucky enough to have actually seen through the last 12 years, from 2007 to 2012, the capacities are pretty small. They are all sub-megawatt, like 5 kilowatt, 20 kilowatt. And there are many players jumping into the bandwagon. But then the jobs are actually not enough. There were some government incentives to support the solar. And because those days, the prices were like the 10 times of what it is today. And I would say over the last 3 years, solar PV has finally taken off. That is the reason that apart from installing solar panels on the roof and also because of a building construction authority drive towards zero energy, BIPV starts to come into play.
I want to talk about price point just very quickly.
Right.
You mentioned how technology has allowed all of this. Has it also allowed things to get cheaper? Can things still go even cheaper in a bit to go green?
For rooftop solar panel, I can pretty say that it has sort of plateaued off.
Sure.
If you compare the price 10 years ago, it's down by a factor of about six to eight times. That means a system that costs $800,000 is going to cost only $100,000 today.
Right.
Right. And then in terms of financial sense, it's actually very, very viable now. And technically, it's actually very feasible. So in fact, solar PV, you look at solar PV electricity, is actually cheaper than the grid electricity.
I need that on my HDB block, man.
It should be rolled out everywhere. And I mean, I think that would be quite a remarkable fact for people to take away from this conversation.
Right.
And especially because, you know, we are living in a time where we want to think about the environment. We want to think about some radical changes. But I had a question around, it's one thing to harness the solar energy, but how do you store it?
There's one thing called grid-tie electricity, grid-tie solar PV. Now, the solar PV actually that you install would actually generate electricity. Your equipment, your load, your aircon in the building would actually firstly absorb the electricity that is generated by the PV systems. And the balance, then it's drawn from the grid network. Thereby, you will save electricity at the end of the day. So okay. When you have more sunlight, you will actually draw more electricity from the solar, then you draw less from the grid.
So you can respond.
So you don't actually have to store it.
So it's like working, you still have to work hand in hand with the grid in that
oh
sense.
Oh yeah, hand in hand, they're all operated in parallel and it's automatic. Sure. Right. There's no switching about and it's all automatic, and the electricity that is whatever is produced from the PV will be drawn from the grid. Now, there's one more interesting thing is that if you have excess PV, let's say you install it in a house, there's very little load, just the fridge, but it's a very sunny day. Now, the extra electricity that is generated by your PV would actually go out of the grid through your meter, and you get paid for electricity that is so-called exported to the grid.
So you can earn money?
Oh, yes.
From this?
Oh, yes.
Now, there's something I didn't know. Right. There you go.
This is great. Albert Lim, Managing Director at Solargy, in the studio with us. Albert, you mentioned earlier about the BCA being involved in this, encouraging this a lot. The aim, of course, 80% of buildings in Singapore to be green by the year 2030. Right. How's the pickup for solar energy? Any chance you could offer us a percentage? What's it like right now?
But first of all, I think I'd like to comment on what BCA is doing. It's a very, very good move, and they have been doing it very successfully. Green mud for buildings and so on, and having a target to achieve 80% green buildings by 2030. Mm-hmm. Now, there are actually two groups of buildings, existing buildings as well as new built buildings. Now, for existing buildings, because some of these aircon systems, the chillers are pretty old, so if they were to green the buildings, it's just by switching over to new chillers, LED lighting, they would have achieved a green mark quite easily without even having to consider PV.
Sure.
Right. But what is important is actually for new built buildings. BCA, in fact, is mandating, apart from greening building, achieving platinum, gold plus, and so on, that you know, the building architect has to actually conduct a solar feasibility study and then solar readiness. That means to say, as a developer, you have to know what is the potential of solar that you can deploy without having to mandate installation.
Okay.
Then you get half a point for green mark. And if you make your roof solar ready, that means to say so that you can fit out very easily, you get another 1.5 points. So you can see that what BCA is doing is trying to gradually mandate the requirements without enforcing it from day one, but probably gradually they will raise the benchmark. And one fine day, I know, they may say, out of 50% that you can install, all right, you do so. And then one day, I think all buildings would become compulsory, solar PV systems. So many the government buildings, especially that we are doing now, they invariably go ahead with the PV systems like the medical hub, the MRT depot, and so on. Yeah.
What are some of the biggest projects then that you've worked on here in Singapore?
That is the NTU project of 5 megawatt. Pretty challenging.
What does 5 megawatt compare to? Like, how can we get people to understand what that actually is?
So 5 megawatt in terms of solar panel is about 20,000 solar panels. You know, one solar panel is about 2 meter by 1 meter, like the size of the door. You know?
20,000 of those.
Exactly. And then it's spread across 33 buildings across the entire campus. The solar energy actually is fed to each of the buildings. So that is among the biggest. We have also installed larger ones for industrial buildings, such as the Halliburton, Cash Logistics, and so on.
And what does that power in that building?
Okay, as I mentioned, grid tie. Now, I think many of the customers and laymen, they are actually trying to ask, what does it power? You actually connect to your grid.
Mm. Right.
So you don't have to identify which equipment is going to fit. It will just offset the energy
supplement
that you already draw from the grid and supplement, as you say.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, now, how does it reduce carbon emission? Maybe I touch a bit more. Now, if you've got an electricity requirement, let's say you draw X units from the grid without a PV. But if you have a PV system, you actually draw less from the grid. So the whole country as a whole, if everybody reduce the electricity drawn from the grid, then you can probably shut down one of the power generation. Right. At the end of the day, you would reduce carbon emission.
Albert, there is, and I'm just trying my luck here, I know you are in talks to launch this exciting new collaboration with one of the banks here in Singapore. Not officially launched yet, so I understand if you can't say any banks' names and whatnot, but it includes a new loan scheme that covers investing in solar energy panels. How much details can you share with us?
Okay, exciting, yes. I think it comes at a very right time that I see a shift in the business model where building owners are becoming more aware and understand how solar PV works, and they are confident to actually buy the system themselves, own themselves, without going to some of those leasing companies. And this mostly applies to the smaller SMEs, not the big multinationals, the small SMEs, where actually it could be too small for the leasing company. But on the other hand, they find it difficult to deep into the pocket to come up with a couple of 100,000 to invest in the PV system, because after all, electricity is not a big percentage of their expenses. So I actually start talking to the banks, a few banks, and surprisingly, one of the banks has been working towards solar finance.
Oh.
All at the same time, and we come together. Right, they have all the details worked out, and they're going to have a launch in 2 to 3 weeks' time. It's going to be a very big event, press release. I do have some details. Bottom line is that it's going to make owning the system much more viable. For example, now, if your current electricity cost is, say, $10,000 a month,
sure,
and then you install a PV system that offset 30% of your electricity usage, therefore, you only pay $7,000 to the grid or to the retailer.
Sure.
Save $3,000. Now, that $3,000, based on today's price of PV systems and the attractive loan that the bank offer, mm-hmm, that $3,000 is enough to service the loan.
How much does the PV system cost in total?
For example, you have to borrow $200,000, then the installment, right, over 7 years, because if you borrow $200,000 from the bank, that's a loan tenure period of 7 years, for example, and some interest. So it's spread over 7 years. Every month you have to pay an installment. But the savings in electricity is enough to pay for an installment. So it makes complete sense, mm-hmm, to actually adopt the solar. And if you sit down, you do nothing, you don't have a solar on your roof. So after 7 years, when the loan is fully paid up, the solar PV system is yours, and you continue to earn savings for the next 18 years.
Seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? On your website, it says, Albert, that Solargy yields high returns. I think anyone listening to this right now would be thinking, okay, sounds good to me, but how do I do that?
Oh, that's very interesting. Right. In fact, the yield that we are talking about refers to energy, the yield, but it also translates to dollars and cents. So if you take an example of feasibility of take the loan that you talk about, for the same roof, if you don't get a loan from the bank, right, you have to pay $300,000. Now, you get an IRR of maybe like 15%. This is in financial terms. But if you take up the loan, you actually come up with a less investment, 30% only. All right, your returns are much higher. That means you get more savings, but with less investment. So in financial terms, you are having a better IRR. So bottom line, with the bank loan, you can get more than 20% IRR. I think many of the SMEs aware of this, most of them would be actually jumping on the bandwagon.
Final question for you, Albert, just something light to wrap things up. Just want to name some of your projects: Johor Changi Airport, Universal Studios Singapore, Nanyang Technological University, Ulu Pandan New Water Plant. You built the tallest PV in Southeast Asia. Which was the most challenging and which was your favorite?
I have that in mind. The Johor is the most challenging and my favorite.
Challenging, okay.
Right. Now, as you know, the Johor Changi is built by a world-renowned architect, Safdie. All right, the same architect built the Marina Bay Sands. And we went through very, very demanding aesthetics from the architects. They pay attention to where we put our screws, what is the color of the screws, the bolts and nuts.
Oh, no.
Right, they hide the wiring. And even we were put to challenge because we used to require certain minimum gap to have better ventilation for the PV panels. That was even put to challenge. Like we used to insist on 200mm, a recommended gap for better ventilation. And I only got 80mm. So what do I do? Because at the same time, we have to guarantee the energy performance, right? So we went through a lot of analysis, and sometimes you just have to use your gut feeling to see whether it works. And we went ahead, and I think we came out pretty good. And from there, I think we were actually ready to take on even very challenging, iconic projects such as the Jewel. Right.
And your favorite project?
Oh, of course. And it's Jewel itself because it's a national project and we are very proud to be associated with it.
We've been speaking with Albert Lim, Managing Director of Solergy, on our Sustainable Singapore special. The Breakfast Huddle Sustainable Singapore special is written and produced by Rianne Lovell-Bolan. Thanks very much, Albert.
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.